Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
Welcome into a fresh episode of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Mike Piff. Live at our downtown radio station's very special guest, Jonathan Capitanini, head dishwasher at Italian Village. Do I have that correct, Jonathan,
yes,
your title?
Yes, you do, yeah.
Jonathan, fourth generation owner of Italian Village?
Correct, yeah, fourth generation with my sister, Giovanna.
And we had a chance to visit over the summer, and you guys had been working on some stuff, and I know you guys are really trying to market the restaurant a little bit different. It's been around for a long time. Give us the rundown, though, of the history of the restaurant, your family starting it, and just the different stages of Italian Village, because it is a Chicago institution.
Absolutely. Kind of approaching 100 years pretty soon as well. So it kind of starts in Italy, of course, and our founder, Alfredo Capitanini, my great-grandfather, came over to America just trying to figure out what to do with his life and build his American dream. That was 1924. He quickly got a job as a dishwasher, and then all of a sudden a line cook at the same time, working two jobs in the course of just 2 to 3 years. He saved up enough to open his own restaurant, and that was the Village. So 1927, the Village came into existence, and really ever since then, it's been a party. Every generation since has left their mark. So from 1927 until 1955, it was just the Village. And then in 1955, the second generation created the brand La Cantina Enoteca. It was our basement location. It was a wine bar that also served Italian steak and seafood specialties. And then that generation as well added the Florentine Room in 1961. That was one of the first restaurants that really showcased fine dining Italian cuisine to America. That was, you know, white tablecloth, beautiful tableside service, and very popular with the celebrities of the day. And then the third generation came in to the business in the late 80s. They decided to leave their mark, and they built the restaurant Vivere to replace the Florentine Room. So 1989, that restaurant opened up, and it was a way of modernizing that fine dining Italian cuisine that we had brought to the city. So that was contemporary Italian fine dining, and that restaurant was very successful up until kind of COVID. We had to shut down Vivere as well as La Cantina. And in kind of the more near term, Giovanna and I, joining the business around the COVID times, have really focused on the core of the Village, focusing on quality, improving our product and our offering, and then also building a new concept, Sotto and Bar Sotto.
So now it's your turn to leave a mark on the legacy of Italian Village. And the food, you talked about the quality. What you fed us that day was fantastic. I mean, if people haven't been to Italian Village in a while, like, the food is there. It's high-level stuff.
Exactly.
So let's talk about what you're opening. Bar Sotto, which you kind of gave us a little walkthrough. Very cool vibe in there. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you know, dim lit, cozy bar, perfect for this time of year, right? You're close to the Millennium Park, you're close to Chris Kindle Market. If people are looking for a holiday night out, it is a great spot. So tell us about Bar Sotto.
Sure. So we basically launched Bar Sotto as a pop-up in November of last year. And we were just trying to feel out whether there was appetite in the loop. You know, everything that happened during COVID just changed the market downtown. And we weren't really sure how we were supposed to fill the building again. And one of our ideas was, like, let's create a bar. Let's see if we can attract a demographic that's different than what we were naturally attracting, our long-term customers of the Village. We wanted to build a place, my sister and I, for us, really, 25 to 35-year-olds, you know, a little disposable income, perhaps, and looking to have a fun night in a relaxing environment, very, very far away from the white, bright lights of their office environment. And the idea was to build for the future of the Loop and create really a neighborhood bar. And we felt like particularly well positioned to do that, given the history of us existing in this neighborhood of the Loop for 100 years. And our kind of value prop felt like it was comfort and nostalgia and basically an extension of people's living room and basement. So that space downstairs with the wood paneling, it was an iconic a restaurant and bar where we had always heard that locals were the ones that wanted to hang out there because they could tuck away. You didn't need to be seen. It wasn't a place you necessarily brought clients or were trying to impress people. It was a place you were trying to relax. And so we really took that forward, reconcepted it for the 21st century and for our target demographic, and updated the menu, and the cocktail list, and redid a little bits here and there, and that's the story.
And plus, I think with the Loop, it's also in a moment of transition, totally. Right, where things are just a little different now, where not so many business type are coming to the Loop. They still are, but it's much different from pre-COVID and even 20 or 30 years ago, where I think we're going to see more and more people actually living in the Loop because they're just the way things are shaping up downtown. Mm-hmm. And I think, I live downtown, and sometimes it's hard to just find a neighborhood bar, right? Because it could be an expensive, swanky steakhouse or something, a spot you can go to and get a drink or an appetizer or something. I think you guys are on target here, Jonathan.
It kind of sounds like Cheers for the Loop, right? When I hear neighborhood bar, that's what it kind of sounds like. And when you were describing your different restaurants and almost like the subgenres of Italian food, this one, the focus is comfort food. Totally. So kind of walk us through that comfort food menu that you guys will be serving.
Sure. Yeah. So we have, it's a phenomenal menu. We brought in Chef Steven Mendez, who we had worked with before on Vivere, actually, the fine dining concept. But, in talking to Chef Steve, what his real ethos as a chef, I think, is comfort food. And a bit of little bit of cuisine from all over the world, but with a backbone of Italian. And we were very excited about that because we felt like what we had wanted to do in the space was this evolution of what Italian-American is these days. So for us, having the village and that's really the core of our restaurant group, our small restaurant group. And that being kind of old red sauce Italian-American, we thought that there's a drifting or a shifting that's happening where you see this new Italian American emerging, where ingredients are starting to be included from all over the world. There's no longer a very strict, it has to be red sauce and mozzarella cheese and it's got to be, the cutlets. Yeah. it's something so much more. And you see restaurants like, for example, Daisy's or Monteverde kind of doing those things. And we asked ourselves why can't we also play in that and not be beholden to the tradition as much? Chef Steve was a great match for us, and his food is absolutely comfort. And things that he did duck confit, lamb ribs with a carrot top pesto, and a little bit of saba, which is like a fermented grape must on top. So a little bit of brightness from the pesto and the saba, and it's just fall off the bone, good, but sticks to your bones. And then one of his probably most popular dishes, which he's been begging me to take off the menu because he wants to just do creative things and change, but are the cacio e pepe arancini. Just melt in your mouth. It's like an elevated mac and cheese ball, but with all Italian ingredients, pastina pasta instead of a traditional rice, and then lots of Parmigiano Reggiano there, of course, fresh pepper. Really, really, really good stuff. And I could go on and on, but
I love listening to it. To be honest, I'm just getting really hungry.
Tell us a little bit more about what cocktails, drinks, things like that at Bar Soto.
Sure. So we wanted, given the neighborhood bar kind of theme that we're trying to hit, we wanted to provide a selection of beverages of all price points. So everything from $2 Schlitz. Nice. Tall boys to Italian craft beer from a brewery called Baladin, and a really great selection of those by both on tap as well as in the bottle. And then from a cocktail perspective, what we're offering are takes on the classics. So you'll find our version of, an old fashioned or a Manhattan, our version of a spicy margarita, but a little bit of a spin. Of course, so, for example, that drink, we call it the Red Reaper, And it is, instead of like a jalapeno or serrano or something, we use a Calabrian chili, you know, to give it that nice Italian spin. So drinks that are not too far away from what you would, you know, expect at your neighborhood bar, but a little bit of Italian play in there.
How much are you enjoying this, getting into the restaurant game? Because from what I remember our last talk, you didn't initially start off into the restaurant business, but then you and your sisters stepped in.
Yeah.
What's it been like? It sounds like a lot of fun. I'm sure it's stressful at times.
It's a lot of fun. My history, I started at McKinsey & Company doing management consulting for a couple years, and kind of right as I was looking to dip a toe in the restaurant scene, I was looking for jobs actually in New York to work for another restaurant group. All of a sudden, COVID happened, and quickly my life changed and my family's business changed, and I, you know, felt a calling to come back home. Felt like the skill set I had was super relevant, and we started to really take on responsibility of the business from our mother, and that was an awesome experience, although very, very, like, just burning platform for change and a lot of heartache with long-term employees, you know, having to leave us. But it is, I mean, I think I'll look back on my life and say that this is by far the best thing I've ever could have done and imagined. And just in the last couple of short years, we've made so much progress reinventing the business and, you know, keeping what makes us who we are, but really interrogating, you know, why we did things the way we did and what can change. You know, we were paper and pen reservations going into COVID.
Wow.
We had like 3 or 4 books, and if somebody's handwriting was illegible or like they didn't copy it to the other book, you know, there was an issue. And it's just, you can be old and historic and nostalgic without having to be, I don't know, a little bit backwards. So I think that that's what my sister and I have been focusing on, and makes me so excited because I'm just very proud of the work that we've done.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you're still respecting the tradition and the history of a classic like Italian village, but also understanding the moment and trying to capture a different demo and lead it into a new generation.
Exactly. Yeah, we couldn't survive. You know, we have to evolve just like the world is evolving, and everyone had to do that quite a bit in COVID.
Go ahead.
So, Mike, you know, Chicago's holiday season just kicked off this past week, and we were talking about it off air, and you said, you know, it was already really busy for you.
Yeah.
But this week, it's Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving like for your family in Italian Village?
Oh, boy. I mean, Thanksgiving is a great time of year. The restaurant is by far the busiest that it's ever, you know, going to be for the year. As soon as we turn that corner into November, it starts going crazy. We are closed Thanksgiving Day. It's one of the few days we are closed. So we like to give that day, obviously, for our employees and for us to be with our family. So my Thanksgiving is typically at my uncle's house. And lucky for me, he got his start cooking in the village's kitchen. So a lot of wonderful dishes that we, you know, get to enjoy every day. We get to enjoy, you know, really in a home-cooked fashion. We have some absolute staple favorites. You know, definitely the favorite by far are the peas we have with prosciutto. Ooh. And tomato in there, and everyone just
the Italian Thanksgiving, I think, is much different from other people's Thanksgiving.
There's like 10, 20 different dishes. You know, people bring stuff, but really the host is you know, the leader of the kitchen and the meal, and they do a really great job.
Well, you guys are doing a great job at Italian Village, and I will be visiting soon, 71 West Monroe. I do love, too, when you walk up, how the exterior is just kind of, it's like, you know, it's captured a moment, you know, where there's big buildings around it, and there it is, the same old exterior for Italian Village. It's very cool.
And then you get kind of transported as soon as you walk up that staircase, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's awesome. Soto, is it open yet, or is it the grand opening?
Yeah, so we're doing like soft open activities, so if you were to walk in, we would love to have you. We are officially grand opened after December 4th. So great. December 5th would be the first day, you know, that we're grand opening. But we are kind of learning and adapting and making sure all those fine little details are perfect ahead of that right now. So you could join us later this week, not on Thanksgiving Day, of course. But
It's awesome. Jonathan Capitanini, fourth generation owner, Italian Village. Go check them out. It's an institution. They're doing a lot of cool things there. Thanks for stopping by the station. Yeah,
thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you.
It's Jonathan Capitanini for Mike Piff. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Chicago's Very Own Eats. Have a great Thanksgiving.